Welcome to our Social and Global Justice Vespers. My name is Jane, and I serve the Village as Outreach Coordinator. Tonight's worship will be led by Laurel Dykstra, of our teaching staff. The tone of tonight's worship is celebratory, and the focus is what it means to experience God's presence as and among people who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, queer, and questioning. The commemoration of Iraq, which we frequently do on Tuesday night, will be on Friday night, which fits better with the tone of the evening. This is a change from our printed schedule. For some of us, a service like this and the terminology used above is familiar and welcome. For some of us, it may be new and evoke a variety of emotions, perhaps joy in hearing one's own experience named in worship in a positive light for the first time, perhaps confusion sparking questions, perhaps discomfort or other feelings. If anyone wants time to share the feelings raised, a couple of us will be available in the meditation room right up there following the service tonight. You may also seek me out later in the week, schedule time with a spiritual director, or speak with the village philosopher. Tonight and each night as we gather for Vespers, you are invited to participate as fully as you are able. Hopefully, over the course of our individual stays here at Holden, we have a range of worship experiences that allow us to be comforted by God's presence in the familiar and stretch to experience God anew. Our opening hymn will be number 50 in the Green Songbook, verses 1 and 2.
Brothers and sisters, a reading from Mark chapter 10, 23 to 31. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard will it be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were perplexed at these words, but Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easy for the camel to go through an eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, there is no one who has left house, brother or sister, or mother or father, or children or fields, for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and last will be first. Word of the Lord.
Now tell me you're not wondering what that reading had to do with pride. First of all, Jesus has an awful lot to say about economics and not so much about families. And despite all of the fuss that some church people are making about families these days, what Jesus had to say about them wasn't always very laudatory. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus blesses the little children and sends the rich young man away. These are the stories that precede the reading that Mark gave, or that Mark's reading that Yvonne read to us. At the end of those two object lessons about status, wealth, and the kingdom, Jesus describes a situation that is hauntingly familiar to many gay men, lesbians, trans people, and bisexuals. Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, there is no one who has left house, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age. Houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life." For many of us, coming out to the good news of who we truly are has meant the painful loss of home and family, a situation which is directly linked to the high homelessness and suicide rates of LGBT youth. But out of love and out of desperate need, those of us who can have built our own families in a host of configurations: lovers, friends, ex-lovers, children, biological family. And these families support us in a life of joy, and as Mark's gospel promises, a life of real persecutions in a homo-hating culture. I wish that some of the spokespeople for gay marriage and those people who advocate for so-called family values knew as much about family as my 2-year-old twins, Miriam and Harriet. Harriet and Miriam know that some families have two mamas, two papas, some have one of each, some have grandparents, some have one parent, some grown-ups live alone, while others live with friends. In their own family, they include each other, me, we grew in your belly, mama, their sperm donor papa, Bruce, their godmother, Kathy, five grandparents, one great-grandmother, aunts, uncles, biological and otherwise, several godparents, two new cousins, some friends who live in community with us. And their circle includes a variety of sexual and gender expressions, some racial diversity, and a lot of people with disabilities. The girls know that love and caring are what's important. And they also know what those who so enthusiastically endorse marriage for gays or for straights, seem to sometimes neglect. Often people in families need to stop living together. In the non-heterosexual world where I live, family does not always mean the constellation of individuals and personalities you were born into or adopted into. It means something more. Family is a conspiracy of outsiders and rejects, determined to love ourselves and to love each other in the face of hatred and violence. One of the very fascinating and overlooked details in the Mark passage that Yvonne read, the passage about losing and finding families, is that when Jesus talks about the restored family structure, he leaves out the fathers. His disciples claim to have left house, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, and fields, What they get back is houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields. Fathers, the patriarchal head of household, are noticeably absent from that second list. Because this teaching follows directly on a teaching about status and economics, this is not an accident. He didn't just skip fathers in the second list. This is a whole new kind of family that is promised, a family where relationships aren't based on power and aren't based on hierarchy. A lot of the material benefits that marriage promises, like tax breaks and health care, are based on the idea that there's a head of every household, one individual who represents and is responsible for all of the other members of that family. And this is the very idea that Jesus rejects. To benefit materially from marriage, one must have a significant privilege already, or have a partner who does. When benefits are combined in same-sex partnerships, it is the already privileged, white, middle-class men who will benefit the most. Through marriage, the most privileged of us all will obtain things that all of us deserve. Healthcare, hospital visits from those we choose. I think that gays and lesbians, bis and trans people who have experienced discrimination and inclusion need to look out for the weakest members of our family and not to improve the lot of the best off. Of course, I think that adults who want to should be able to marry legally. Everyone deserves their bouquet, their happiness, their spousal tax break. But I want much more for myself and the people that I love than heterosexual society's token and begrudging inclusion of a few of us. I want acceptance and solidarity. I want to see now in this age, as Mark's gospel puts it, a world where monetary and other social benefits don't influence our choice to enter or leave a relationship, where we are free to come and go in relationships not because of how much money our partner has. A world where covenant and commitment are supported by community. A world where queer youth are safe in their homes, safe in their schools, and safe on the streets. A world where we understand that ethical sexuality is not limited to cohabiting heterosexual monogamy. A world where no one is stuck in an abusive relationship. A world where all work receives a living wage. In the world I yearn and work for, everyone has health care, because we have bodies, not because we're married. These are simple and decent things that everyone deserves, not just those of us who marry. But to achieve these visions will be difficult. And if we allow ourselves to be separated from one another, to be separated from our allies, to isolate single people and poor people and people of color and gay people and lesbian people, they'll be harder still. Do you know the Sister Sledge song, "We Are Family"? When I hear that song, I have to dance. That is the family that I want. For me, that is an anthem of radical inclusion. It speaks of a world where the meanest bull dyke and the skankiest drag queen and the scrawniest trans man are all sisters and brothers who deserve to be treated with love and respect just because they are, because all of us are created in the image of God. And that is the family that I want for my children. Amen.
This is a song by Fred Small, and we'll see how long we have two parts. We
We have cleared off the table, the leftovers saved. Wash the dishes and put them away. I've told you a story and tucked you in tight at the end of your knockabout day. As the moon sets its sails to carry you to sleep over the midnight sea, I will sing you a song no one sang to me. May keep you good company. You can be anybody you want to be. You can love whomever you will. You can travel any country where your heart leads, and know I will love you still. You can live by yourself, you can gather friends around, you can choose one special one. And the only measure of your words and your deeds will be the love you leave behind when you're done.
There are girls who grow up strong and bold.
There are boys quiet and kind.
Some race on ahead,
some follow behind.
Some go in their own way and time. Some women love women, some men love men. Some raise children and some never do. You can dream all the day, never reaching the end of everything possible for you. Don't be rattled by names, by taunts, by games, but seek out spirits true. If you give your friends the best part of yourself, they will give the same back to you. You can be anybody you want to be. You can love whomever you will. You can travel any country where your heart leads, and know I will love you still. You can live by yourself, you can gather friends around, you can choose one special one. And the only measure of your words and your deeds will be the love you leave behind when you're done. And the only measure of your words and your deeds will be the love you leave behind when you're done.
Hi. We would like to invite anyone who would like to offer up a prayer for diversity or social and global justice to come forward and take a flower and place it in the vase. And you can say your prayer either silently or out loud. So we'll begin now. We offer up these prayers, both spoken and unspoken, and lift them up to you, O Lord. We will now sing Dazzling Bouquet. The choir will sing the verses, and we are going to sing the chorus. You can find it on page 51.
Mm-hmm.
like to invite the folks who helped prepare this service and anybody for whom pride has special meaning to come up and gather in the front to help me give the final blessing. Where's Bruce and and Miriam? God created us just as we are. God loves us just as we are. And God called us good just as we are. Let us go forth. Let us go forth in peace all together.
Let us go
forth in peace to love God and serve God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
All right.